President Bush makes his first visit to Europe next week as president. He will be trying to reassure European allies on the issues of missile defense, Balkan peacekeeping forces, and global warming. He'll be contending with the memories of other U.S. presidents whose visits to Europe were among the highlights of their early months in office. Joining me now are NPR's national political correspondent Mara Liasson and White House correspondent Don Gagne. Morning, folks.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Don, where's the president going and what issues are on his mind?
He is going to visit five countries in 5 days next week. It's a mix of old allies and countries in post-communist transition. He starts out in Spain, then he goes off to Belgium, where he'll meet with NATO leaders at NATO headquarters there. Then it's to Sweden for a summit with European Union nations to cover a wide variety of issues there, trade and defense and other things. Then off to Poland, to Warsaw. And finally, the last stop will be in Slovenia. This was added recently. And in Slovenia, he'll have his first face-to-face meeting with Russian President Putin. As you said, it's his first trip to Europe, his first trip overseas as president. He's been to Canada and to Mexico. So as much as anything, it's a chance to get acquainted. Many of these leaders he's already had to the White House. He's never met Putin before, but it's a chance to say, hello, here I am.
Well, Mara, how did the events of this past week affect President Bush's strength as he goes to meet world leaders?
Well, you know, the president's trips to Europe are always a big test. The first foreign trip is a big test. And what he's going to have to do is it's going to be a test of his leadership skills. He has to persuade the allies, he has to sell them on two really controversial policies, missile defense and global warming. And we haven't seen him on the world stage dealing with leaders who have a big difference of opinion with him on those kinds of issues. And I think that the events of this week, of course, will follow him like a shadow. You know, a president's status abroad is always determined by his status at home, even for the leader of the world's only superpower. And certainly the defection of Jim Jeffords and the loss of control in the Senate will affect his standing. Every one of these leaders is elected. They're politicians, and they have a pretty strong nose for each other's weaknesses. But the other thing that will be interesting to watch is how he's able to develop personal relationships with the other European leaders. President Clinton was able to develop strong personal relationships with Helmut Kohl and with Boris Yeltsin, and President Bush hasn't had a chance to do that yet. Granted, there is a big difference, of course. President Clinton was at home with a sea of center-left leaders in Europe, and President Bush, of course, has a different ideological place where he's coming from. But those will be things to watch for.
Don, how strong a hand is President Bush going to play with allies? What do they want from the United States?
They have not liked everything they've heard out of this White House since Mr. Bush took office, and they'll be looking for some reassurances. There are those important issues to discuss, areas of significant disagreement. Many of these European leaders have expressed anger or at the very least disappointment with the president's rejection of the Kyoto Global Warming Treaty and his decision not to regulate carbon dioxide emissions here. They'll want to see what his alternative is if he's going to reject Kyoto. And there's the issue of that national missile defense shield that the president wants to establish. There are concerns in Europe that it could be a destabilizing force globally. So they're going to want to hear how he tries to sell that. They also want to talk about the situation in the Balkans with him and the role of the ongoing role of the U.S. peacekeeping effort there. So it's not that they're expecting a lot of specifics, but they do have some questions they want answered.
President has slipped in the polls, Mara. How tall does he stand at home as he embarks?
Well, it has been an extraordinary 2 weeks for the president. He has slipped in the polls. On the other hand, he just signed into law this huge tax cut. It was a tremendous accomplishment for him, probably the most important thing he'll pass in his entire term in office. It will have a profound effect on the size of government. But the defection of Jim Jeffords and the loss of control in the Senate was a blow to him, and it raised questions about how he has governed and how he should govern from here on in. And Jim Jeffords made the point in one speech that the Democrats have been struggling to make for months, which is their argument that Bush campaigned as a moderate and is now governing as a conservative, and I think that has hurt him. The dip in the polls, however, is not huge. I mean, he's at about 55%. That's not terrible for a new president. Although this is the week, because he signed that tax cut into law where he should have been standing tall. This is his greatest triumph, but ironically, this week was also the end of his honeymoon.
The Jeffords switch was a blow, Don. How has the president responded?
Well, let's say the theme of this week has been making nice with people. They've been reaching out. The president has had a lot of people over to dinner at the White House. Last night's guest was the new Senate Majority Leader, Tom Daschle, the Democrat who now has the keys to the Senate and its calendar. But he's also been courting moderates in his own party in a way that many say he should have been doing before Senator Jeffords decided to bolt. Senator John McCain, a man who has very famously had many differences with the president. They've had a fierce rivalry, came over for dinner this week. It was a social event with the senator and his wife and the president and the first lady. Rhode Island's Lincoln Chafee, another Republican moderate, came by yesterday. And earlier in the week, a couple of interesting meetings. We saw a bipartisan group of senators come through, including Ted Kennedy, to talk about education reform. Senator Jeffords was in that group. And Vice President Cheney even hosted a meeting with leaders of environmental groups a few days back. That meeting included some of the administration's most vocal critics. The White House says they've always had people through, but there definitely appeared to have been a theme of sorts working this week toward reaching out.
Now, President Clinton lost control of Congress, Mara. Any similarities?
Well, it's not a perfect parallel. Clinton lost control of both houses of Congress in 1994, and he lost it through an election, not a defection. But what he did after he lost control is pretty instructive. He became a very, very effective counterpuncher. You could say he was more successful as a minority president with an opposition Congress. He managed to demonize Newt Gingrich and Bob Dole. And which helped him politically. It didn't necessarily help his party. But I've talked to a lot of Republicans this week who do see a silver lining for them and the president in the loss of control of the Senate. They now have a foil. They're ready to write direct mail letters to get funds for the Republican Party, talking about Ted Kennedy and Hillary Rodham Clinton, who are now back in power. And on the other hand, it will be harder for Republicans to convince people who don't like to be in the minority to stay in Congress and not run again. But one of the things that President Clinton did after he lost control was that he moved to the center. He recalibrated his agenda. He didn't just reach out to Republicans and invite them up for dinner. He stole their issues. And that was a successful move on his part.
Yeah, you see President Bush moving to the center, Don?
He says he ran on an agenda and he's going to pursue it. The catch, of course, is the Senate and what happens when things are sent up there. He may propose the same kinds of things they always planned, but it's going to be there'll be a lot of pressure to compromise if they hope to get any traction on things.
And the Democrats tomorrow, what do they plan to do with their new Senate majority?
Well, they're very, very worried that they'll overreach. And I think they're worried enough that they probably won't. But regardless of the Jim Jeffords switch, the issues from here on in are better for the Democrats. Instead of tax cuts, we're going to be talking about Medicare prescription drug coverage and a patient's bill of rights and minimum wage bill. Those are things that are all better for Democrats. And if they can advance their agenda, they'll have a bigger microphone to do it, slow down Bush's without looking like they're obstructionists, they think they'll be able to do very well. They've also got a huge psychological boost this week. They think it's going to be easier for them to recruit candidates and raise money, so they're feeling pretty good.
NPR National Political Correspondent Mara Liasson and White House Correspondent Don Gagne.